Okay, we have it today. Over to you, Minister. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Like I've indicated earlier, that this strategic document also is expanded more by the work of the entities. I indicated earlier that we plan together, so it's overarching. It will deal with the issues also on the other mandates of the entities. Then the entities, as and when they present, will be now coming up with the actual strategy on how part are they going to implement. Our work then, in particular, it covers the following areas. Improving government communications, the broadcasting policy review, content development, community media support, and media transformation, as well as strengthening the capacity of our entities to deliver on their mandates. And then when we'll be dealing with the strategy, we'll then provide details regarding the interventions to be implemented. Then the presentation will also seek to deal with the issues that I feel we need to quickly highlight. Number one is that we have indicated responding to Honorable Van Dyk's question, GCIS continue to exist as a Schedule 1 department, reporting to the Minister of Communication to provide a single point of entry with regards to communicating government messages to the citizens. And then also, the SABC, as we speak now, is in a sound financial position. And then it's our expectation as the department to say this is the way how things are going to be done moving forward. However, the SABC will have to address issues raised by the AG fully. Also, with regards to the SABC, it becomes so urgent that the funding model of the public broadcaster is agreed on and implemented. Otherwise, the SABC will fail to fulfill its public service mandate, rendering it irrelevant in the society. This matter has been placed high on our agenda, and the work is currently underway to look at various funding models for the public broadcaster. Also, the Department on SOE oversight, it will strengthen the mandates of all institutions reporting to it, including how they are funded. Various pieces of legislation are being amended to develop, are being amended and developed to give effect to this. And then also with regard to the issue of reaching of all citizens in their languages, it remains a challenge, and the department will develop a clear plan to ensure that all languages are reflected in government communication strategies. The advent of digital technology has brought with it challenges on how to regulate content. We will, through the Films and Publication Board, intensify the activities in order to address the adverse impact of advertising on society, especially youth and children, as well as ensuring a secure access to online content. The implementation of the broadcasting digital migration is to be fast-tracked so as to enable the citizens to enjoy digital television in their homes. That also includes the issue of competition in pay television market. That remains a challenge. Content is key to addressing competition issues, and the ICASA has commenced a process to review local content quotas and have published a report to this effect. Since 1994, Chair, you'll agree with me that the progress has been made in establishing community broadcasting stations, televisions, and newspapers. We will implement interventions aimed at assisting community radio stations, televisions, and newspapers in order to bring about diversity. And then that brings to the issue of the regulatory system for the print media, that we need to take further action for us to achieve the meaningful transformation agenda of our country, which will include resuscitating of the parliamentary inquiry in which the ministry will participate, is to come up with a more balanced and acceptable regime within the industry. In terms of advertising of the advertising industry, there is a need for a process that will ensure that strides are being made in ensuring that industry contributes to media diversity as a matter of priority. In this regard, the department will continue to engage with various stakeholders, including the DTI, with a view to develop mechanism of implementing the triple BEE codes in the industry, as you are well aware that it's self-regulated. So the DG will take you through all the programs that were violated that we intend to undertake. And you also introduce the team that is brought along.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members. Let me start by introducing the team from the DOC. You will note, Chair, that members, we are still in the building phase. We don't have a big team, as it were. With me, I've got Ubaba Vumazonke Pindile, sitting there. The director responsible for entity oversight in the DOC. The other colleagues couldn't join as a chief director for broadcasting. I also have Mr. Randete, who is in the ministry but is providing support also to the department, especially around matters of organizational development, to set up the department. The other colleagues are in the ministry, so but for the purpose of this, I'm with Wahov Mazonk and that. This gentleman here will also assist us because he's our interim CFO. Whilst we are finalizing process to appoint a CFO for the department, and I think we have signed an MOU between myself and Donald on GCIS to enable us to work together on other matters that will require us to set up. At the same time that we are able to work on our own feet, as it were. So there are all of these things, which I but thank you very much. I will take you through the presentation. It's quite a long presentation, Chair, which I'll try to be as brief as possible. We thought, I think, we should provide as much information as possible to the committee to ensure that we also, get the committee to really understand our mandate and the things that we'll look at to come with the program that we've put in our start plan. So we'll focus on the vision and mission and value statement, on our mandate, policy and plan legislative initiatives, situational analysis, operational environment, strategic outcome and set goals, program of overview, and also resource plan. Then we'll also touch on the annual performance plan 15-16 on what we're going to be doing in this current financial year. If we can go straight into slide number 5, Chairperson, the slide talks to our vision as a department. Our vision is to be a vibrant, sustainable communication services for informed citizens and positive image of Africa. We will want all South Africans to be informed about what is happening in government, and also at the same time ensuring that the country has got a positive image outside the borders of the country. Our mission, therefore, will be is to create an enabling environment for the provision of exclusive communication services for all South Africans in a manner that promotes socioeconomic development and investment through broadcasting, new media, print media, and other new technologies, and brand the country locally and internationally. And I must say, Chair, here we are defining ourselves as a policy department, more than as a department which is going to be implementing. We see ourselves as a providing that leadership role, with our entities taking the cue from the department on policy-related matters. We have defined in our value statement that we want to be a department which creates certainty in the policy environment, looking at people-centered quality of standards and products and services, integrity, responsiveness, and innovation, which is our value statement. We derive our mandate as a department from the Constitution, in particular, principles of freedom of expression and freedom to receive or impart information or ideas, and freedom of artistic creativity, which we focus on deepening democracy, sustaining nation building and patriotism, by ensuring that citizenry is informed about government programs and that they are able to influence and participate in such programs. I think my colleague Donald, when he was presenting, he touched on some of the things that they are doing to give effect to the statement here that we are making in terms of our constitutional mandate. Our legislative mandate is, we derive it from the Broadcasting Act, the ECA, especially Chapter 9 of the ECA, which deals with broadcasting matters, and other sections that the proclamation issued in December has given the responsibility to the Minister of Communications, especially matters of frequency for the provision of broadcasting services. Also, the ICASA Act, ICASA is now stable, Films and Publication Act, and the Media Development and Diversity Act. I spoke about the Constitution. I think just to highlight in this slide here that broadcasting issues are regulated at international level. We also going to be participating a lot in the institutions of global governance, which is a UN specialized agency responsible for telecoms and radio communications, the ITU, and also World Intellectual Property Organization, which deals with issues of copyright, especially the rights with regard to broadcasting matters, etc. So we'll be quite active in those two institutions. I must say, Chair, there are also institutions within the African, within the AU, that will be participating in the Association of African Broadcasters and within the SADC region, as it were. We have just to restate what the President has said when he established the department, that we focus on developing an overarching communications and broadcasting policy strategy, information dissemination and publicity to promote informed citizenry, brand South Africa to assist the country promote investment, economic growth, and job creation. And I must say, we are using the word here in citizenry to encompass individuals and legal persons, including companies, that they should be able to feel that whatever they do is in the name of the country and has to take the name of the country, much better and much forward. I will touch on this when we deal with the actual outputs and goals. I'm not going to worry much to take you through this. But I think what is important in this slide is to mention that the issue of the media bulk buying strategy is quite very high on our agenda. in line with the questions which were raised regarding how do we spend our budget as government and how do we support community media in particular to ensure that they're able to sustain themselves. We know that community media by their nature are non-profit entities who doesn't generate money. So in a way, government has to play a leading role in supporting such initiatives. I'm going to also touch on the bills that we are going to be working on in the year 15-16. We've also looked at the kind of environment that we operate in, which is the broadcasting and media space. And I think we have the view that communications plays a very important role in realizing government strategic objectives. And informs citizenry, makes informed decisions about what they want to do. It mobilizes the nation to take active role in realizing government programs, especially of radical economic transformation, that they can contribute meaningfully to the economic activity if they are informed, so that we can address the triple challenges that the president spoke about: poverty, unemployment, and inequality. One of the most important elements that as a department we felt I think we need to deal with is the issue about nation building, unity and social cohesion. It is through how we express ourselves that we are able to feel that we are South Africans, and we believe that as a department we have a role to play together with other departments in that regard. We also look at the challenges that I think that we are seeing, and I think the presentation done by Mr. Malika touched on some of the challenges that I've outlined here. The domination of the especially in the media space by the few. We had four big media houses in 1994. A lot has happened. We're back to the four again, back to pre-1994, as it were. So that's a worrying trend, in that regard. And we want to see the emergence of more black-owned media that must come to the space. And I think the other challenge that I want to highlight is the issue about the emergence of social media. And new media, almost every hour, we don't people themselves are generating news, as it were, wherever they are. Sometimes the news reach people quicker than the traditional media, which is newspaper. So the challenge is how do the mainstream media keep up with the emergence of this social media. As it were. Linked to this is the issue about the emergence of over-the-top services which are coming on board, video on demand and all of those, which are proving to bring about competition to the broadcasters in that space. The issue of the public defining of the public broadcaster can be overemphasized. It's a matter that has been on the table for a long time. And I think we are going to focusing on this so that we can find a sustainable funding model for the public broadcaster. Inadequate performance of public and community broadcasting. I think in here what I can say here is that there is a legal, I think, in terms of the law. And I think we need to close the loop, as it were, in terms of ensure that how do we license community broadcasting. Very often you find that they are licensed, they come to the department to get the necessary support in terms of infrastructure or content. So it remains a challenge. From the department side, really we need to ensure that the governance issues of our institutions are dealt with decisively, and the delaying of the digital migration project, I think we need to move as quickly as possible, so that we can ensure that we release the spectrum to enable the provision of broadband, you know, in the country. Inadequate communication of government programs and plans. I think in here, you know, is the issue that we need to not only think about the new forms of media, but how do we reach those people in the rural areas in their own mother tongue, in their own languages, so that they're able to participate in government programs, you know, as it were. How we are structured as a department, we have got three branches. The one branch dealing with policy matters. The other branch will be dealing with industry and capacity development. I think Mr. Malika, you know, made a presentation that talks to the ecosystem. We try to say, as we do policies, the policies has to be supported by the growth and development of the broadcasting as an industry and the creation of entrepreneurs in that space. And I think I'll touch when I deal with the content matters on the kind of the niche areas that I think we need to look at to support broadcasting content. An entity oversight branch wherein all the work of the entities will be monitored. So we do have two chief directories. I think the acting DG of GCIS spoke about GCIS being so kind to us to donate positions so that we can establish our corporate services. I think they've been so generous. We thank them for that. We will not have a branch per se. We will have two chief directorates. One dealing with corporate services, focusing on HR, IT matters, and facilities matters. Then we're going to have the financial management, which is the CFO unit. All of this will be reported to the DG. We feel, you know, for now we don't necessarily need a bigger branch. You know, as we, you know, we'll be able to allow organic growth of this as we. You know, improve the department. So these are our entities, all of them. I think they are all here. In terms of our strategic goals, we have set ourselves, we didn't want to have many strategic goals so that they can be manageable from our side. And the first one talks to a responsive communications policy and regulatory environment. The objective thereof will be to conduct research in order to improve universal access to broadcasting services by 31 March 2019, conduct research in developing broadcasting spectrum policy and plan in order to ensure equitable allocation of spectrum to public, private, and community players by 31st March 2017. And also to develop broadcasting policy papers for international engagements that informs our country positions. I must say, with regard to spectrum matters and you know, international engagements, it will require us to work with GTPS quite very closely because the entity that has to manage spectrum is ICASA. So there need to be that synergy. To that effect, the Minister of Communications and of telecoms, there is an MOU that has been signed that shows that we need to work together on all of those. The second goal is improved government communication and country branding. The work of GCIS and Brand SA is located in this strategic goal. And we have set ourselves, we need to conduct research and develop media policies in order to broaden access to information by all citizens, and also to develop branding policies so that there is coherence and alignment of messaging of all our entities, so that we are able to speak with one voice and able to send one message to locally and internationally. And last one is a transformed communications sector. We will want to see a competition, real competition in the communications industry through, you know, implementation of targeted interventions to support the development of the creative industries. You know, the creative industry is quite broad, you know, in that regard. I think in here we're looking at, you know, supporting the animation industry, in particular. Development of documentaries, and also partnering with arts and culture to digitize some of the heritage and content that they have, so that it can be consumed in a digital format. And then the other issue is digital migration. We have set ourselves very aggressive timelines that, you know, within 2 years we should have migrated. Et cetera. This will require all players to really work together to assist us to be able to move from analog to digital. The last two issues here talks to ensuring that we become a leader in terms of research and analysis and become a authoritative voice in terms of what is happening in the communication space, in that regard, in terms of statistics, data, and all of those things, and research, for that matter. That will require us also to partner with institutions of higher learning on how we should work in terms of those, all of those. And lastly, you know, as a department, we do have stakeholders that we must work with, over and above our entities. We need to have a structured program of engagement on how we engage with all of them, both internationally and locally. Very often the requests, they come every day, probably raising the same issue. If you had a program of engagement on how you engage with them, it becomes easier. You can just call one meeting and address the same issues that they are raising. So we will implement a structured program of engagement, really, there, also within government itself, from a policy point of view, so that there is an understanding of the need to ensure that there is a working together of government, and also open doors for GCIS to be able to do its work with ease within government, as it were. The one issue that we have looked at also share is the outcomes and also the agreement that the minister signed with the president, wherein we are expected to work with other government departments, sports and recreation, arts and culture, to achieve certain targets. There was the first target would be to ensure that we improve the pride of Africans have in the national sporting teams. So 66% of the people by 2019 should be able to have pride in all the teams, not only if you follow soccer, but should be able to look at all the sporting codes that we have, as it were. And we look at the role of the SABC playing there in terms of showing this kind of response of national interest within the platform. The next target, Chair, forging a new overarching identity as a nation, and the target is 25% of Africans reflecting pride to South Africans, be proud of who we are as Africans, so that we are able to walk and do with things to say we are South Africans, this is what we stand for as a country. The last one dealing with the issues about 70% of content. In the main, we're looking at content that we consume in the broadcasting space that reflects Africans, that we see and consume in that space. As I say, the minister has signed permanent agreements on all of this, and we have asked the entities, Chair, to reflect on this. I think we will see when they present how they are going to be contributing to some of the targets that I think have been put forward here. Our program overview, Chair, you know, touches on our branches, which is administration, you know, communications and industry cover development and entity oversight, in terms of the purpose and what they stand for as our branches. The resource plan, you know, we don't have a big budget, and I think we are also grateful, Chair, that GCIS has been very generous with us to enable us to have a startup structure by you know, giving us some money to start and have a department. And I think we do have an allocation in the next, over the MTF period, which is going to go from 42 million for administration to 47 to 48 million in 2017-18. In the communications policy, 7-8 million will grow into 9 million in 2017-18. 2015-16 for industry and capacity development, 10 million, which will grow to about 12 million, 2017-18. Entity oversight, this is where the biggest budget is. Currently, we are sitting at 1.2 billion. This will grow over time to about 1.4 billion. 1718. So the bulk of our budget sits with entity oversight, and I think we will be quite very robust there, Chair, given the fact that you don't have much capacity that sits within the department with the entities, that they should be able to execute with precision so that we're able to deliver on our mandate. So we'll be very rigorous in terms of how we look at the plans and how we look at quarterly reports, in terms of what entities are promising that they should be doing, in that effect. So it requires that I think that the department work very closely with our entities if we are to deliver. We don't have much, I think, in the department. We only have about 80 staff in the department. So we need to work smart if we are to deliver on all of this thing that we said needs to be done. This slide here, Chair, touches on the priorities, and you will see from slide 26 until slide 36, it's quite a huge chunk of the presentation. It touches on the corporate services that we have the correct systems. We've got the correct system, HR systems. We've got the correct IT systems. We've got the correct financial systems, so that we don't, we're not found wanting come end of the financial year. We should be able to put the policies that must govern our space. When we present, hopefully next year, this slide probably will be one or two slides, as it were. The fact that it's long now is as a result of us putting together the systems. And I must say, Chair, we have adopted the existing GCIS policies on most of these areas to enable us to be able to start functioning. The process of putting policies requires engagement with organized labor and all of those things. And I think, what we've done will enable us to begin to do the work 2015-16. At the same time, developing policies that will govern our environment going forward. So I'm not going to take you through all of those, Chair. Those slides from 26 to 36, they touch mostly around the policies and systems that we need to develop to put together governance model. And I think we've started the process already we have to put together an audit committee for the department, so that we that's one area that we're not going to share. We'll have an audit committee that will be able to look at, for governance purposes and all of those, look at the work of the TOC. That process, I think, any time now, there's going to be adverse to calling for members to sit in the audit committee of the department in a situation. So these are the slides that I spoke to. I'm not going to take you through all of those. This slide, Chair, talks to the work that is going to be happening in the Communications Policy and Research and Development branch. Our priority, is to conduct broadcasting and review and develop adopting white paper on broadcasting policy. I must say here, Chair, there is a work already that the former DOC has done in terms of the ICT policy review process. So we're not going to be starting afresh. But we need to look at all of that work with a view to align it with the new mandate of the department. And our 15-16 target is that we would have reviewed the white paper on broadcasting is currently existing, and the green paper and white paper will be been approved by cabinet. The second area is around the broadcasting amendment bill. We envisage that this also will be done and approved by cabinet and enacted into law in 2015-16. And I must say this has been to cabinet, and we are finalizing consultations regarding the amendments as proposed. The ICASA amendment bills also is one area we are looking at. More so precisely to deal with the issue of the number of councillors at ICASA to reduce the number. And then the next area will be to look at community broadcasting support strategy. I think in here to mention that the DOC has got a budget that has been allocated, is about 22 million for community broadcasting. We also have within our table at the MDDA, which does exactly the same job. And I think, it then requires that perhaps, going forward, the DOC has to focus on providing strategic, leadership and support on policy front, and the implementation has to be done by the MDDA. So that's one way, Chair, that I think we need to clarify those responsibilities and enable the support that is required. We provide support to community broadcasting in three areas. The one area is infrastructure, in terms of building the studios. The second area is around signal distribution costs. And the third area, talks to program production, the content that broadcasters, that this community has to produce. The next area here deals with the broadcast and communication policy and legislation, that we may need to develop. I think we are mindful of the fact that the environment is changing, and I think we need to be futuristic in terms of the things that we need to do, especially around government communication. And one of the output that we are looking at is to develop an overarching communication policy for government, which also will locate the work of GCIS and how GCIS relates to other departments and the three spheres of government. Currently, they are an entity which does not necessarily have teeth. I think we need to be able to assist GCIS to be able to be the center center of communication excellence in government, as it were. I spoke about the international engagements, and I think it's important that before we go to any international engagement forum, we are quite clear as a country, ourselves as government, and also our industry, that the positions we are pushing are advancing what we stand for as a country. Very often, you find government going and engaging and leaving behind the industry. And also, when you look at other countries in the world, when they negotiate at the ITU level, behind them is their industry. They're looking at opportunities to grow their industry, and I think we should be able to go to that level where we as an industry enable innovation, to say that as a country we stand for such standards and all of those things, that we can support the growth of our industry in that regard. So it's going to be quite a very robust process, which will require the industry to work with us to develop the other sectors of the economy, as it were. I must say, Chair, the international space is critical to enable our companies to participate in the international, to build multinational companies which can operate beyond the borders of the country, as it were. Radio frequency spectrum matters, and ourselves here, together with the cluster, we need to work quite very closely with DTPS and, the DTPS dividend policy. It has to be developed, and I think we see ourselves, playing a leading role in that space. Set-top boxes, I think the targets here, I think, is are not, I think needs to be looked at, because we should, in the next 2 years, have distributed about 5 million boxes from the government side. But coupled with that, we should have migrated everybody. That requires that you need to have about 8 million boxes that needs to be there in the market. So, so the targets there, I think, needs to be reviewed, so that they talk to the aggressive timelines that we have agreed. We are looking at, given the budget we have, we are looking at supporting 5 community radio stations with infrastructure, so that we know for 2015-16. Why 5? Is because we don't have the budget really to support many. I say we only have 2 million, and to build one studio is costing about 1.7 million in a situation. So we are mindful of that, and I think if we can get more resources, we can do more. The next one, I have already touched on it. The next one, Chair, talks to the media transformation matters, and I think we feel we need a media transformation policy, as a country, to be able to assist with transformation matters. We do take note of the fact that there are reports which are done, and there are the codes of good practice approved by the DTI, and I think we need to take a lead as a department to ensure that transformation policy in the country is developed, so that there is a deliberate effort on the part of the department to support the growth and development of black media houses, in that space. We are also going to look at the issue about, the mandate and the positioning on DDA. It has been with us for some time, and I think we need to relook at its mandate going forward, and be able to reposition the MDDA to be able to be responsive on the changing environment that we find ourselves in. In the meantime, we'll be amending the bill to deal with the governance matters, in that space. The next one here, is in line with our support for community media. So we need to develop the same to support community media, community newspapers. That talks to the issues about advertising, buying, and all of those things. Also amending the Films and Publications Board Act, to allow for governance matters, and also the substantive issues which arise as a result of the digital environment we find ourselves in. And I must say, Chair, FPP is in the process of finalizing an online policy that I think they are consulting at the moment, which will feed into the work that we'll be doing in amending the Act. So the other area that I think we still need to look at is the issue about the classification system. You know, I think our view is that we need to review the system so that it reflects the new, you know, the new media that are there, and to also reflect the spirit within which we operate as a country. You know, in that way, so that we can position FPB as a leader in that space. I think the one issue here, say, Chair, that I want to indicate is that there's a need really to look at the capacitating FPB to really have the IT systems that it enables us to do its work. In the digital era, wherein you're still relying on manual classification, it's not going to work. So we need to have to support FPB to get the necessary funding for that. We will also work on the amending Brand SA Act, in that way, but without really losing its semi independence. In as it were, we need to have a balancing act, with regard to that, so that there's also an element of positioning Brand SA as the leader in terms of brands of Africa, the brand of the country, and getting everybody to allow Brand SA to take a lead on branding matters, as it were. The next one, Chair, talks to the audiovisual digital content development strategy, which we're looking at developing the audio digital content strategy. The strategy is there, is ready. We're just finalizing engagement on it, and it will be published for public comments soon, so that we can take along the South African public along in terms of what the strategy looks at. It looks at the demand side, the supply side, in terms of showing that we have got the requisite infrastructure, especially in the rural areas of our country, so that you don't have to leave where you are to come to Joburg if you are to participate in the digital, in the content space, as it were. So it requires that the ministers of government works very close together to put that side infrastructure. And the supply side to encourage demand, the demand side to aggregate demand, what sectors we need to look at, and all of those things. So documentaries, the sector, animation, and all of those things. But more so to support the emerging, content producers, in that space, so that they can find expression in the content that is consumed within the country. The next one, Chair, I've touched on it, is more so around what I spoke about in the Minister's Business Agreement. Even the next one, we're looking at 55% next year, 3% this year, and 3%. So we hope that if we can do it like this, we'll be able to reach 60% as signed by 2019, signed by the Minister. It doesn't do any harm, Chair, if we can achieve this quicker. And I think we should strive to work together to achieve that quicker, not to wait for 2019. The advisory body, we are finalizing the its establishment. We do have the names, so that by May it can start to do its work in that way. I think the last one, Chair, talks to the skills development program. It's one area I think we need to really look at going forward on honing broadcasting skills in the country, in the whole value chain, so that we're able to support, again, emerging content producers, you know, as it were. Migration, I think this has been spoken a lot in the last 10 years. I think just to say that I think we need to really get our heads together as Africans to ensure that we're able to migrate quicker and faster. And in all the role players, and I must say, Chair, from the Centrex side, the network is ready, regulations are ready, standards are ready. I think what is left is only for us to, get the manufacturers to start with the manufacturing issues so that we're able to start as soon as possible. So the next one, Chair, talks to our program of engagement, as I spoke to earlier on. I'm not going to take you through all of this. I've already touched on them. The next one touches on the work that we do with audit entities in terms of reports, compliance matters, shareholder compact that needs to be signed between the board and the minister. But of importance here to note is that there is a treasury review report, which I think is going to guide the work that we're going to be doing with the SOEs. We are going to analyze that and look at the section that has got impact on our entities. The same with this. I think to note here is that we will need to look at the review of the funding of the entities, especially the funding of ICASA and the public broadcaster. It's one area I think we're going to be looking at quite very closely. On that note, Chair, I thank you. Thank you.
Yes, and you want to comment, Minister, maybe?
No, thank you, Chair. I think the presentation covers almost everything. We are ready to take questions.
Yes, thanks very much. I think it's a very interesting presentation in the light of where you come from, ever since you started the department up till now. Let me allow the members to indulge whatever they feel necessary to do so that we can also take these points. It's the gist of our work, and therefore it will have a lot of interest and will actually listen to each and every sentence around this one, but it also informs the entities that are under the DOC. Any issue that members want to raise, Honourable Van Dyke and Honourable Zedi?
Chair, it's nice to put out long-term projects or projectors as has been done here, but if I look at the report that we received in the previous one, it says that the expenditure versus the performance in the department, the DOC, only performed 54% to its capacity, which means that, and that is what they indicated, which means that they actually 46% is not operating well. And for me, it's and there was no performance agreement that was actually provided by the HOD, which means that no one can be held accountable. Now we get these reports, but should we not focus to first get the house in order before we put out projectives and want to ask for more money and... It was just the IGP report that was presented first focused on the SABC consultants, and if we look at that report specifically, Mbola Maleka indicated that consultants are being used here, and it indicates with the DOC, there's a lack of skills, and while I also agree that funding is necessary for the SABC, 2% funding is not enough. I also feel that we should shift the house, not focus on filling the temporary positions like the CFO and the CEO, and start with better skills development, because we're getting a lot of consultants to do the jobs, but a lot of this money can be spent more properly on other issues. But now we have a lot of projectors projected, as I say, but we don't spend the money that we do get properly. Would it not be rather better to get the house in order before we... also the physicians in the DOC, it's indicated that some of the physicians, it takes 8 to 8.8 months to fill the position. And this all comes together when you don't have people with proper skills in positions, you don't get people that can perform properly, and then it comes back to the DOC performing only 55%. And that's what I actually want to conclude on. It's necessary to get your people in-house skills and you... before you actually put out projectors for 5 years, but in your own entity, it's not performing.
Thanks, Honourable Van Dijk. Honourable Perry.
One of the issues that was raised was the challenge of crowdfunding of the broadcast. I thought the department will also come up with a clear-cut proposal in terms of how best can we deal with that particular challenge, power funding of the broadcast. There was also an issue around the support for the 5 community radio stations in terms of broadcasting infrastructure. One is with regard to which criteria. Are we talking about existing ones or are we talking about new community radio stations? Because part of what we have been experiencing is the issue of us starting new community radio stations, leaving behind those that are existing with a challenge in terms of infrastructure. I know in one engagement we have always been saying it becomes very difficult in terms of the act not to approve an application for a community radio station. But it can't be right for us to start new ones, leaving behind those that are existing without the necessary infrastructure. So the question is which criteria we're going to use in terms of the 5 stations to be supported in that regard. I think there is a need to strengthen oversight of the entities, HF. And coupled with that should be the issue of consequence management. Because from where I am, I'm not sure if we have enough consequences for entities that are not performing in that regard. What is it that needs to happen if an entity is not performing? What is expected? What is it that we can do to make sure that this thing does not happen going forward? And last feature is the issue of the support for community media, in particular print. If you can look at most of these community newspapers in particular, you'll realize that most of them are relying on government advertising. What is it? What strategies can we come up with to make sure that these community newspapers remain financially stable? They're able to deal with some of the issues on their own. Because even if we were to enforce the 30% issue, I don't see them sustaining themselves financially on their own. So I'm saying at the level of the department, what other strategies can we come up with to make sure that these community newspapers do sustain themselves financially going forward? Maybe let me pause, Chef, for now.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm still settling, Honourable Member, bear with me, it's Honourable Machop.
Okay, thanks. Also, thanks for the clear presentation. My question is about the establishment of the audit committee. it is not clear how are you going to establish that committee. Also, to top up my question to my colleague about the issue of the 5 radio stations, also it is not clear where, what is your time frame about those 5 radio stations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Machom. Okay, let's take the responses, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I need to first deal with the issues raised by Honorable Fandeji. This is our first strategic plan in APT as a newly constituted department. I think that should be our starting point, as I said it earlier. The issue that Honorable Fandeji is raising, that the issue that we raised by the AG in the then Department of Communications, and we are not the successor in title of the Department of Communication. The successor in title of the then Department of Communications is the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. So those issues that you were raising, that the AG were raising, there was the issue that relates to the then Department of Communication, that is now the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Ourselves were just a new department, and this is our first track plan that we're presenting to this portfolio committee. I wanted to clarify that because most of the issues that were raised by the AG is in relation to the then DOC. Even the report that we are having from the Public Service and Communication, Public Service Commission, that relates to the then Department of Communication. So the issues that you have raised, most of them, then it's unfortunate we can't take responsibility for that. So at least for us now, they also help us to say then, as we start moving as a department, these are the issues that we need to guard against, that we don't get caught up with issues of that nature. That's the issue that I said I need to quickly deal with first. We have not used any consultants now as the department chairperson. I need to assure that with the limited resources of the ministry, we had to work around the clock on our own to make sure that we've done that. To say, as you had, Mr. Rantet in particular, is part of the ministerial support. And then we've been, so in our case, then when it comes to entities as and when they will presenting, because I think that was the issue that was raised in relation to the SABC, then we'll be able to deal with that when we deal with the presentation of the SABC. So other issue that I think it covers the issue where the honorable member has got an issue to say we need to first get our house in order. We have just started, we're a new department. So those issues that you've raised then, that relates to the former Department of Communication, then we'll have to also take them into consideration. And then there was the issue raised by Honorable Chair that deal with the issue of government advert spent. What is the strategy for us to make community print media in particular to be sustainable? The issue that we're doing the using Biso countrywide, because we had consultation with stakeholders for the whole part of last year when we got into office, was the issue of the sustainability of community print media. Yes, it's fine. We have allocated that 30% government spend on community media. But the issues that we came across with other community media was that there was the utilization of middlemen agents. That such 30% don't actually reach the community media per se. The issue that we've commissioned an investigation to that effect. Also, as we are doing road shows, because if we need to deal with the mindset of also the political principles in local spheres. They will prefer to advertise their council meetings in the national newspaper, whereas the audience that they require the people within the locality, whereas there's a community media that they can utilize. So we are engaging on a roadshow to meet with the political principals, both in provincial governments and local levels, so that we start to share with them the importance of them utilizing a local media. Because we had a visit in Mpumalanga. I know the show of ICASA won't like this one, but it's related to ICASA. Went in the way looking for a public participation officer in Mpumalanga. And then they were reporting to us that they couldn't get anyone. And then I asked them a simple question, which form of media did you use? Because to my understanding, within the locality of Mpumalanga, there are a lot of unemployed young people. They told me they put it on one of the national newspapers. I said to them, that's your problem. Because you are looking for somebody to work in Mpumalanga, but you're targeting people in the national newspaper instead of using the local newspaper. I'm telling you that if you utilize the local newspaper, you'll have got more than a thousand or more than 10,000 applicants. So this is the issue that we grapple with on a daily basis in terms of our strategy. Honorable Sedi, to say we need to also deal with this issue to start to talk to. We've started with other mayors in other provinces like Free State. They are doing well in terms of utilizing community media. So we are having road shows where in part of our community outreach program, we are meeting with the political principals and local CSCs in provinces to make sure that they start to utilize community media so that they understand. The beauty about community media, they speak the local languages of the people on the ground. We have raised the issue of languages again, and we see community media is a very critical tool to make sure that once we utilize it, because these are the local people, local journalists who know the constituencies within that particular area, who speak the languages, because like it's about the audience to say, you can't have your council meeting advertised in a national newspaper, whereas there are local community media that you don't utilize, because the people that are supposed to come and attend your council meeting are the people within that locality. So these are some of the things that we are trying to deal with it. On the issue of the establishment of the audit committee, Honorable Machon, yes, we are using for now, like as the CFO, we are using the shared service with GCIS. We're still also using the shared service of the GCIS audit committee. But these are the things that are in place that we will be advertising for the audit committee for the department. For now, we are utilizing the shared services of the GCIS. The support from GCIS has been very overwhelming because that also included the office space. We are squattering in GCIS offices as we are speaking. I think the rest are technical in nature. The acting DGs and the CFO will be able, the interim CFO will be able to deal with them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Let me deal with the question on the funding of the public broadcaster. It is correct that we could have come with some form of thinking on the possible strategies to fund, for example, the SABC. And I must say there is within the department a discussion looking at various models, especially how other public broadcasters are funded. For example, we do have a report which had looked at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, how it's funded, the BBC in Canada, and all of those things. They use various methods on how it's funded. So we are looking at all of those that we can have a one that can fit within the African context in a situation. So already there's a report that we have developed, which looks at all on the funding model, various funding models that exist elsewhere in the world. To come to a model, we need to look at our peculiar environment in Africa, as it were. We know what worked in what works in Australia may not work in Africa. We need to have that understanding, you know, in that way. So I think at an appropriate time we'll be able to brief the committee on the findings and all of those issues that we are looking at. The other question on the five community radio stations that we are targeting, in the five, there's a combination of new community radio stations, which are three, and also supporting two, which requires a upgrade of the infrastructure, either it's the software and all of those things and so on. So we are, as we deal with the new ones, also look at the ones that we've given infrastructure. So that becomes a public asset that they're using in a certain way. So the criteria basically, it looks at the need. We have a team that we sent to have a discussion with the stations, to look at the need, whether the proximity in terms of how far is another station which is there, and all of those. So we're targeting at those areas where the proximity for another community radio station is quite far, and all of those things. So for example, you will not want to really focus more around Joburg, but you want to focus more in the remote areas so that people can have access to information, in that way. I think the one area we need to strengthen, critically, is the area of program production, which is at the heart of why a radio exists, how the source information and all of those things. It may be that going forward there's a partnership model that we look at, where in the SABC we have to look at community broadcasting as an extension of public service in a situation and how they should work together in terms of accessing certain news. For example, what could be a news, at a national level, may not be news, not necessarily may not be news. What could be SABC collects a lot of news every day from Cape to Messina, and some information that they have might be very relevant in the specific areas where they are getting it. So how do we get a model where we can share information in that regard? That's one area I think we need to collaborate in in that way. The other question on the consequence management, it's an area I think that we have engaged as much as you have got shareholder compacts and all of those. I think you need to strengthen instruments that you need to use. Okay, Minister, we want to deal with this one. So maybe Zweli can just expand a bit on the issue of the audit committee. And I must say we have the positions of the CFO, corporate services, and the directors, financial management and HR, all of those have been advertised. We're in the process of filling those positions. Thank you. Maybe Zweli can deal with it before the minister can come. Yes.
Thanks to and members of the audit committee, Minister, ladies and gentlemen. Just to quickly further expand on what the Minister has actually indicated, we have a memorandum of understanding that GCIS and DOC have entered into. In that memorandum of understanding, GCIS would want to make sure that the provisions of Section 38, in fact, from Section 38 to at least Section 45 of the PFMA are adhered to while the department is being established. Now, it is critical for us to have the system of internal control up and running from the start of the department. Members, please do note that the department is on its 21st day of existence in this current financial year, but a lot has already been done. I can tell you that we did, as GCIS, manage to assist the department to have the E&E tabled before it was born. The bus is up and running, PASAL is up and running, the bank account is up and running, but there is also that, we Mr. Guma is here, the CFO of SABC, he can confirm that we are in the process of even paying transfers from DOC to various entities. We have also made sure that all the entities are complying before they can receive the funds. We, so some of us have done this before it has worked. Our intention is really to make sure that the department in its first year of inception obtains an unqualified report, and indications are that we are doing very well. Going to the second question of the audit committee. The audit committee is in, we are in the process of really appointing it. Treasury regulations is quite clear that the accounting officer has to run with this process. And we are making sure that the members are quite knowledgeable, you know what is that, that they're doing, because some of us are operating, and we are part of the, though as a CFO, but I'm a member, and there is a lot of institutional memory at GCI to make sure that DOC appoints a committee that will really add value. We are aware that Minister will have to concur and those processes will be followed. We are also aware that they will have to be paid properly in terms of the regulations if they are not members of the public service, and we will make sure that we do not have firewalls with regards to that. We'll make sure that they evaluate the effectiveness of the internal control system. They will look at the oversee the functions of the internal audit unit, and even though administratively the accounting officer manages the account, the internal audit, but functionally the audit committee has to manage the functions of the, so we'll make sure that all those functions are actually there. I just needed to assure Honorable Mashola that indeed there are processes that are in place to make sure that this work does. We will not hire consultants to run with the process of corporate services. We believe that people that are in government are better positioned to deal with this matter. We do have that institutional memory. Thank you.
Honorable Sir, you raised the issue of consequence management that relates to entities that are not performing or complying with the regulations, laws and regulations. I'm glad you are raising here and they are all here. They are all here. The current one that I have signed the charter when I got into office, because it was there, is the SABC. We've entered into, we've got the charter that's signed on an annual basis. And then it also gives provisions for consequence management. I'll be able to share with you a copy of the charter. Then with regard to the CAS, I've had discussions with them that we need to have a shareholder compact as well. That will also regulate, especially for them, the cooling off period when they leave ICAS. It should be that form part of that shareholder compact. We are in an advanced stage with my team. And then once this strategy is approved, we'll also prove the other aspects of the track so that then we are able to tie them and hold account. Also with ICAS, the beauty about the Act also, it requires us to also sign performance agreement with each individual counselor. And our argument is, say, once you put two counselors in one portfolio, how do you measure their performance? But with the current existing ones, then we are also finalizing the performance contract, because in the past administration, together with the previous portfolio committee in the fourth parliament, the portfolio committee approved the model of the performance system that the then department submitted. So that will also be good, so that at least that one, because the CASA counselors are also appointed by ourselves for the review of the assessment. I think the portfolio has got also a role. I think it will help us to say, unlike to have them for 4 years, they just get away with murder without even delivered what is expected of them to deliver. So I think that's going to help. Then we'll be sending the copies to the portfolio for you to also to continually monitor the counselors of ICASA to whether they are performing or whatever. And then the issue leadership for the letter, but even the whole term of assembly, because we'll have to retrieve it so that you share with the members now, because it was there, it was approved by the fourth parliament, so that you know what needs to happen when it comes to ICASA. The same thing with Brenda, we discussed with them also to say, we'll have to sign a shareholder compact. We're just waiting for the approval of this process and the budget. That includes MDGA, Films and Publication Board. I think I've captured everybody. For GCIS, it's good because that one, there's a DG that I need to sign a performance agreement with also. That includes the DG of communication. So that will start to implement the issues of consequence management. I think that's in brief and short to say all the shareholder contacts, once they are signed, we'll make them available for members to also help us monitor the progress. I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, Minister, I just wish I should have phoned mine as well so that once we hear you've even cleared them, because most of them are around the comments on what we are picking up as members, and just one issue. On the, you know, we've been discussing about the charter on the BBBE that you talked to earlier on. I would just need to find out whether it's in relation with the DCI. Do you work it? Is that the same discussion? I just needed you to confirm on that one. But I remember that even if you are a new department now, it comes along with you because it's part of what you've been working on. We've already worked on that one. We'll respond, sure, Minister, just to get a bit of clarity that the incorporation of the BBBE is that one relating to your collaboration with ETI. And then we appreciate again here the MOU that the DG Ndevuwa has actually indicated that they have done with it. She says, well, it makes it easy for you to manage this transition. And actually, you know, when we were even saying we took the money, I said, she says it's finished. We took all the money. We took this. But you forgot that you also took the audit committee, because you actually say we're still establishing the audit committee, and the question by the member in terms of the audit committee, but safe to say the minister cleared that, well, that we took even the audit committee, you know, but it helped, you know, that you actually managed this transition quite very, very well. Now, there's a matter again on the issue of, it's clearly raised by the minister on the, you know, you talked about the constitutional mandate. It reminded me of what the minister was talking about, even, you know, all the aspects that you need to deal with, including the issue that has been raised by the committee about the, you know, the national anthem, the constitution. Minister talks clearly about the constitution, which we actually thought people will automatically know, which is there's a vacuum around that. And I'm so glad once you emphasize that, Minister, because it goes along this issue of nation building. And possibly the current process, you know, the current gaps that are there, the issue of race is a problem. Now xenophobia is coming on board. It's part of the issues and the areas that you left unattended to, and they actually come as a terrible consequence that is biting on us. And therefore, possibly on that one, like I say, Minister, we need to zoom into that and start to develop the programs that are going to be supported, of course, even by Parliament, in terms of dealing with them. The legislative mandates, and I know that it's actually on the legislatures and what we have to work on, it actually shows that we've got a lot of work that ourselves as Parliament have to really deal with. There it would need me to have a meeting with you, Minister, so that we start working on dates. You know, we just align dates and agree that even priorities, how we prioritize, but we'd really need to get on that job as urgently as possible. Unfortunately, members who come where there's such huge tasks, and we're just going to have to face those bad work and deal with it. I will not overemphasize the issue of the funding of the broadcaster. It's the same as the funding of the communication strategy. We just need to have a way. How do we deal with that? It's raised over and over. It, you know, and it's one of the issues that needs to be cleared, because it's wrong to have such minimal funding for the public broadcaster. We need to just up it. At some point, we don't have to raise it as an issue. We need to say this is how far we've gone, and the minister has gone to implement that aspect. Okay. Well, in terms of the DTT, we know that we are just challenged in terms of the peace and making sure that all happens as a given date, so that we don't really have the negative consequences as a country. Now, there's another very interesting sector acting DG that you talk about when you identify your areas like policy, industry and capacity development, and the entity oversight, which actually shows that you've already structured yourself as a department. That middle part of the industry and capacity development is quite huge. And therefore, then there will be a lot of work in terms of dealing with that. Because that's where we'll be even seeing the department partnerships with even other departments on working on that. You know, the CTAs, for instance, on the skills for the for those that emerge in that area. And that's where the job creation would actually happen from the department. And as a portfolio committee, would have the interest of watching closely, because we believe that's where you can actually impact on the creation of jobs, especially the issue of the skill that you are lacking. And if you look at the skill, largely, you know, Africans who don't have actually even the capacity for communication, and that's, you know, to have 21 years, you know, where we still have others can use a cell phone and so on, we're challenged, and therefore we do need to do something to zoom into that area and work that. And I'm glad members are from you know, part we had we attended a course in VIDS. It's divided into phases. It actually sort of opened up other areas that we just feel we're lagging behind. It's, you know, that's why I'm saying there's a lot of work in this area, quite a lot. Okay, quickly, you know, because I'm also watching time, I think I want to emphasize that I'm aware that, you know, moving, you know, structuring the department is a little bit difficult. And I do want to agree that I've never had involvement of consultants. And we're congratulating you that you managed to sort of work it around like that. You know, if a crook like can put it, you're like a chameleon. You know, instead of put, where it's green, you just become green. Then go brown, you become brown. And, you know, sincerely, it's not easy. Yes, it takes. Sometimes to put up a department, it does take a lot of time. And, you know, the adjustment. You know, you're adjusting, you're able to discuss something tangible. We do appreciate that. We are aware it's not an easy task at all. Chameleon? Okay. No, but really, this is good. Okay, in conclusion, what I need to say is that, yes, so I appreciate, especially Honorable Van Dyke, I see you are raising hands.
I just want to clarify that my mentioning of the consultants was when I spoke about the specific entity of the SABC, and I was referring to the report that we received this morning about the consultants. So that's, and it's still ongoing. That's why I mentioned it and said that it shows there's a lack of skills, and that's why I pointed that we should get out in order. So I just want to clarify that.
I actually wanted to come to your point. You know, I appreciate if members are able to remember what was said in the past and go along with it, so that we're able to hold the department accountable. I would love that skill to retain it, Honorable Van Dyke, moving forward. Yes, of course, in this instance, there's this changing and over tweaking of the department, and therefore we find that, you know, whatever related, it's for the past and they're moving forward. But it's important to always pick up on what was said. You'd see now, department, that we know what you've said and we're carrying it along. So next time once you come, would actually put what you said in the past and then challenge you based on that. Okay, honorable members, I'm sure, you know, for instance, the issue of the community radio stations, I know that from the legacy report, we know that portfolio committee was doing a good job, and we're not going to drop a ball. But you are aware that the department is amplifying that. As a portfolio committee, really, that is a ball we don't want to drop at all. This one, we want to carry that task and move along with it. You'll be glad, Minister, you're part of that. So it's taken forward, we yourselves were definitely going to still move with this critical. Yeah, members, I'm sure, but let me allow the minister to do a roundup comment and allow you to have something to bite, but I'll ask members to remain for a while before we go out. Yeah, minister.
Thank you, sir. Now, men will quickly deal with the triple BCD charters that code that I referred to, the one with DGI. You remember, for telecoms and broadcasters, they had to. Now, men will deal with that quickly first, then I'll deal with the others.
No, thanks, Minister, and thanks, Chair. I think on the issue of the triple B sector code, I think I can say that the code was gazetted in June 2012, and I think since then there hasn't been much that has happened to establish the sector council, the ICT sector council. Last week, I received a communique from DGPS, DG, indicating that they will want us to form part of the team, which is going to put the council together, and they also want us to also have a representation in the council to represent the interests of broadcasters in that. So on that note, Chair, we will be able to respond intelligently to that question once we have dealt with the issues at the DGPS, where they are leading the establishment of the sector council going forward. And I think lastly for me, Chair, is that I think we have adopted a simple motto that says fewer but better. And I think, what we have seen here is a commitment of a few individuals who have dedicated their time, ready to, because you see, it's one thing to say you can get consultants, but you can't get consultants who don't understand exactly what you're doing. But they give you a report that you won't even use. And I think what we said to ourselves is that we need to understand this business. We need to understand the kind of work that we must do. And if we are to go and be and muddy ourselves, we'll do so. And I think, this is what we've been able to do, but fewer but better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We agree with you that we need to be held accountable for whatever we do. But I heard Honorable Sandy clearly on the issue of the SABC. But prior to that, she raised the issue of the DOC being performed 54%. You remember the no performance agreement signed with managers, and then the other thing, the filling of vacancies or whatever. That's the issue that I said. These are the matters that refer to the former Department of Communication. You remember we got a report last year from the Public Service Commission where they were making the analysis, same the one from the AG with regard, because then it used to be one department, the current DOC and the telecoms. That was the issue that we're trying to clarify, because you also said it's necessary for us to first get our house in order. So that clarity was necessary to that effect, to say we are not touchy of all those things. We are a new department. This is the first strategy. As Julie has said, we are only having 21 days now. Yeah, so that was the clarity that we wanted to say. Nevertheless, Chair, the other thing that I omitted, Honorable Telly, is with regard to this community radio. They've got difficulties themselves, community media, on accounting. Because also out of that 30% that we give them, we've got the PSMA that has to be complied with. We have observed the governance matters that mirror community media. But I think we've been having discussion to say we have got the responsibility also to build capacity now. to all those community reviews, so that community print media, I think we are having engagement with them, and then Wonderman, they are busy now working on a model that will provide training and corporate governance matters. We have got 6 entities that they will come on board to assist the department, so that we'll make sure that it's our responsibility to capacitate those structures. That's one commitment that we are making. But like I'm saying, nevertheless, Chair, we appreciate the support that the committee is giving us from time to time, because without their support, we wouldn't have moved that far. Over the last year, we don't want the situation where we are still having done nothing, because normally, like, to set up a department is not an easy task, I must say that, I must confess. It remains in the place nice that we had to undertake to make sure at least we have something tangible to present to you, as we have done today. And we solely rely on your monitoring time and again, so that we make these strategies a reality. The commitment that I'm making also on behalf of the entities that are here with us today to say, based on your monitoring, I think we can do better. We've given you a baseline document that we're saying, this is how you should measure us from now moving forward. And we are looking forward to that working relationship with yourself. Safe to say, I won't do any justice if I don't thank the DOC team. That includes the entities, like I've indicated. We have worked collectively as a team to make sure that we produce this track plan. And then, as they present as entities, they need to be held accountable, because right now they have got an advantage. They've been in existence prior to us coming, and the mandate has not changed a lot. So they will have to do a lot of accounting to the portfolio committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sure, Minister. We can then take a lunch break on that note. We'll come back then and have a presentation by ICASA, followed by SABC. Then lastly, we'd have a Brand South Africa. I can see we'll manage that. Sure. Thank you very much. Members, can I have you remaining?
Where's the lunch?
Lunch is inside here. Okay, what we'll do, you'll come back for lunch. Please.